This is Audiophile Magazine, providing news and reviews of recent releases of audiobooks. I'm Sandy Henschel. Hello, and welcome to today's readings of selections from the June-July issue of Audiophile Magazine. On today's program, we have our new feature, The Download. This time, we have a conversation with talented actress, narrator, and director Robin Miles. After that, we'll have reviews in biography, memoir, and history, including John Lee's earphones-winning reading of Darkest Hour, How Churchill Brought England Back from the Brink. It's written by Anthony McCartan. Let's get right to it. In conversation with Robin Miles. Audiophile's Josephine Reed chatted with narrator Robin Miles about the work behind her narrations. This is an excerpt from their wide-ranging conversation. You can listen to the full podcast on the Audiophile blog at audiophilemagazine.com/blog/the download in conversation with Robin Miles. We begin with Josephine Reed asking, how do you approach each new audiobook? Robin Miles. You know, it's interesting. I do follow probably the same blueprint. I read the book through one time with as few distractions as I can manage. I oftentimes won't prep a book on a subway just because it's too choppy an experience, but I'll read it through. And as I'm reading, I make notes. I prep on an iPad, so I'm using colors to underline characteristics. I'm using a highlighter when I'm highlighting my main characters. Any words I don't know or I don't know how to pronounce, I'll highlight in yellow, but I go through the whole book and I make a map for myself. If it's a book with incredibly long thoughts, for example, sentence length that's 4 to 6 lines long on average, I might mark where I need to breathe. If there are two ideas that are contrasted in a paragraph, just as I'm reading, tra-la-la-la-la, I'm reading along, I'll just stop, bring up the tool, underline the first element that's mentioned, and then I'll underline the second one so that I know I'm about to contrast this with something coming up so that I don't lose the thread of that. If for some reason there are date anchors in it, you know, by 1911, such and such and such and such, but by 1913, I'll underline the date so I don't lose the progression through the material. I make notes in the margin, so if it's a passage of dialogue, she's speaking, 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 she whispered. That typically happens if you don't mark it. You read it without whispering, and then you get to the end, and she whispered, oh, darn, now I got to do that one again. Now I got to go back and do it again. So what I started doing was giving myself clues to those little adverb phrases. Oftentimes, you know, she said wistfully. So I have to write wistfully at the first word so that I know that emotionally that's what's going on. It's so helpful for the actor because the more you stop when you've made mistakes, the more it can kind of throw you out of the text. And I want to stay, as a jazz musician would say, in the pocket. I want to stay in the pocket for as long as I can with as few interruptions as I can manage. Josephine Reed. There's such a subtlety to your narration, but boy, when you do an accent, you nail it, like Annie John by Jamaica Kincaid, which is one of my absolute favorite books in the world. And I was really nervous to listen to it because I knew that book so well. And I had a voice in my head. And there's a way I was really comfortable with the voice I had. And how would this work when I listened? And it took me like 10 seconds, and I was into your narration of that book. Robin Miles. Oh, I am so thrilled to hear that. I did take a risk because the different islands in the Caribbean are not all the same in terms of their sound. They're actually quite different, and Jamaican is probably the one that Americans know best. And my family's from Jamaica, so that makes it a little bit easier for me. But Antigone has this wonderful quality of, it's like the Scottish influence on the speech is still audible. And I knew that, but I thought, well, how am I going to do that without jarring the American ear? You have to do it within a small range. Sometimes people jump into accents and they want to do them absolutely perfect to the language, and then we lose the sense. And so there's always a little bit of a balance that one must do. And so I listened to Alfred Pragnell, who's an Antiguan storyteller, and then I went, okay, let me use this as the basis, but then soften it, and I'll dilute that a little bit. And the only reason why I think I felt okay doing it was because I could speak at length without feeling like I was working at it. Because I think people can hear it when you're working at it. And I don't want to give anybody that experience. I think it throws them out of it. Joe Reed. With Rosa Parks's book, Reflections by Rosa Parks, when you decided you were going to narrate that book, since she is so much an icon, I could imagine taking that, I could imagine taking that on with a certain amount of trepidation. Robin Miles. You know what it was for me? I don't remember how many years ago I narrated At the Dark End of the Street by Danielle McGuire, which was about basically the history of rape and black women in the South. And what I discovered in the first chapter was that Rosa Parks was an investigator for the NAACP. She investigated the backstory of women who came forward to press their rape cases. And we all think of her as the lady who got tired and sat down on the bus. She was a lot more than that, and she served the civil rights movement by making a choice to allow herself, in a sense, to be that icon, to have her case be the one that was used because she was not the only woman who sat down on a bus and was arrested. But she was the sort of the perfect spokesperson. And I thought, well, years later, what would that person be like? And I have her words here, so she has so much to distill, to transfer to us as wisdom. And so I just put myself in that position and then went with it. Whatever the thing she wanted to say, and I do think she wanted to make it accessible to as many people as possible. She didn't over-intellectualize. She doesn't throw around a bunch of dictionary words that you got to go look up. She wanted to get back to the simple underpinnings of humanity. We are human, and we need to be human with each other. And I found that absolutely relatable. Absolutely relatable. Josephine Reed. I don't know what I expected when I listened to the book, but I know that I felt as though I was sitting down with an older woman who's had this rich life with difficulties and really has come out on the other side, and I felt like we were sitting down on a front porch, each having a glass of sweet tea, and she was just telling me about it. Robin Miles. I got that feeling too, and I didn't want it to be any more complicated than that. Just keep it accessible. Me and you sitting here. As I always tell my students, you know what you need to do is you need to think you're in an Irish pub. It's got to be an Irish pub. We each have our brew and we're sitting there and we're talking. That's an audiobook. Josephine Reed. But you also had just the faintest bit of a southern accent. The faintest. It was more a gesture. Robin Miles. That is what I live in, gestures, because oftentimes I don't think we need more. And if I put any more in it, then it becomes all about me and what I'm doing, and I don't want it to be about me and what I'm doing. I want to stay on the text and that person's intention, what they wanted. It's very different when you contrast the fiction and the nonfiction, because for nonfiction, it requires a great deal of humility to work in someone else's, to walk in someone else's shoes and not let your foot stretch the leather, so to speak. Josephine Reed. Going from acting on stage, for example, or I know you've done television, but acting with your full body and then going into the booth and just acting with your voice. What adjustment did that take? Robin Miles. It really does. It requires an adjustment. When I'm in the studio, I bring it down, and I'm much more nuanced. But I think part of that is that the theater training is still in there. Your relationship to space has just changed. That's kind of how I think about it, the size of things. Am I in a car sitting next to someone telling them my life story? Do I have to talk over a noisy engine to do so? I kind of think of it a little bit like that. And that was in conversation with Robin Miles. Josephine Reed chatted with narrator Robin Miles. And here's a review of Reflections by Rosa Parks, The Quiet Strength and Faith of a Woman Who Changed a Nation. It's written by Rosa Parks with Gregory J. Reed, and it's read by Robin Miles. Narrator Robin Miles gives voice to Rosa Parks, one of the most iconic figures of the civil rights movement. In particular, Parks reflects on her motivation to stand up by sitting down on that fateful day in 1955 when she protested the laws of separate but equal by refusing to move to the back of the bus for a white bus rider. Parks is more than this movement, of course. She was already engaged in the civil rights movement by that time. She discusses key leaders of the time, shares insights into the role of the church, and describes struggles she faced later in life, including the lasting challenge of white supremacy. Miles assumes the role completely, making this a gently powerful and inspiring listening experience. Stephen P. Cummings wrote that review of Reflections by Rosa Parks, The Quiet Strength and Faith of a Woman Who Changed a Nation. It's written by Rosa Parks with Gregory J. Reed, and it's read by Robin Miles. It's available from Zondervan for 1.25 hours of unabridged listening. This is just a reminder that you are listening to Audiophile Magazine's June-July issue. We are the magazine that want you to discover the world of audiobooks. Okay, we turn our attention now to reviews in biography, memoir, and history. And our first review is an earphones winner. So, as you know, Audiophile awards earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative voice and style, vocal characterizations, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. Our first review is Make Trouble, Standing Up, Speaking Out, and Finding the Courage to Lead, My Life Story by Cecile Richards and Lauren Peterson, read by Cecile Richards, and as I said, it's an earphones winner. Cecile Richards, longtime president of Planned Parenthood, delivers a terrific performance of her inspiring new memoir. While not a professional narrator, Richards is a practiced public speaker who reads with energy, enunciation, excellent pacing, and emotion as she tracks her career in rabble-rousing from its start at home in Waco, Texas. The child of political activists, her father a lawyer, often represented unions, and her mother famously became the left-leaning governor of Texas. Richards began her own troublemaking career by getting kicked out of school for protesting the Vietnam War. What a ride it's been since. Richards is fierce, funny, and pulls no punches, which will offend some and motivate many, for whom this stirring audiobook will serve as a call to action. Aurelia C. Scott wrote that review of Make Trouble, Standing Up, Speaking Out, and Finding the Courage to Lead, My Life Story by Cecile Richards with Lauren Peterson. It's an earphones winner, read by Richards, and it's available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 9.5 hours unabridged. Our next biography memoir review is Unmasked. It's by Andrew Lloyd Webber, and it's read by Derek Perkins, with Andrew Lloyd Webber providing the prologue and the epilogue. Andrew Lloyd Webber, one of the most successful musical theater artists of all time, provides listeners with a lengthy memoir that focuses mainly on his career up to the Phantom of the Opera's original production. Blaming his verbosity, he hints at a potential second volume. While Lloyd Webber offhandedly narrates the brief prologue and epilogue, Derek Perkins skillfully handles the majority of the audiobook, giving it a cheeky and well-modulated narration. Backstage stories abound, but there is only minimal exploration of Lloyd Webber's divorces and the reasons behind his numerous squabbles with writing partner Tim Rice. Music and theater fans will enjoy this ultimate companion volume to Lloyd Webber's works. The memoir includes the rationale and evolution of nearly all the songs and stories from so many memorable nights at the theater. William A. Gortz wrote that review of Unmasked. It's written by Andrew Lloyd Webber, read by Derek Perkins, with Andrew Lloyd Webber providing the prologue and the epilogue. It's available from Harper Audio for 16.5 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review is Never Look at the Empty Seats, a memoir by Charlie Daniels, read by Charlie Daniels, and it's an Earphones winner. Raw, southern, insightful, colorful. This memoir about the life and career of one of Southern Rock's pioneer bands is as unique and unpolished as the music for which he is known. And the Charlie Daniels Band experience is even more so, with Daniels delivering his own reflections. Listeners will hear the sadness of regret and the laughter of joy, as Daniels can't help but stay emotionally involved in the audiobook. The seasoned entertainer is on full display, showing that he's secure in his own skin, while humbly acknowledging that he could never have accomplished anything without the Lord, his family, and his friends. Hearing this humble confidence emanating through their speakers will inspire his fans to love the man as well as the music. Terry Delaney wrote that review of Never Look at the Empty Seats. It's an Earphones winner, written and read by Charlie Daniels, available from Thomas Nelson for 8.5 hours, unabridged. Next, we have Educated, a memoir by Tara Westover, and Earphones winner by Julia Whalen. This riveting memoir recounts the author's childhood in a fundamentalist and isolationist family and how she broke out of those narrow confines to go to college and graduate school. Narrator Julia Whalen's performance is outstanding. She expresses author Tara Westover's naive trust in her father's conviction that the world will end at Y2K, incredulity at the constant freak accidents of children being gashed, set on fire, or concussed while working in a junkyard, God will protect, and mortification at discovering her ignorance of the Holocaust and Martin Luther King in her freshman year at Brigham Young University. Whalen conducts a master class in the fear, dread, and self-doubt wrought by domestic violence, as Westover recounts her older brother's terrorizing, all while spewing religious righteousness. Anna Broom wrote that review of Educated, a memoir by Tara Westover, an Earphones winner, read by Julia Whalen. It's available from Random House Audio for 12 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have The Darkest Hour, How Churchill Brought England Back from the Brink. It's an Earphones winner, it's written by Anthony McCartan, and it's an Earphones winner, read by John Lee. Detail-rich and utterly fascinating, this audiobook delves into the personality of Winston Churchill and analyzes how he became one of the most influential leaders in history. He became Prime Minister of England on the eve of Hitler's invasion of Belgium, the Netherlands, and France. Narrator John Lee performs Churchill's voice and speech patterns perfectly. Lee further displays his linguistic prowess with his interpretations of the French, Italian, American, and German leaders of this critical period. Listeners will hear Churchill's meetings with ambassadors, his war cabinet, and other heads of state as he leads Great Britain through what was to become World War II. Lee is a powerful performer, and his impeccable portrayals of Winston Churchill and other heads of state are second to none. Elaine E. Sumner wrote that review of Darkest Hour, How Churchill Brought England Back from the Brink. It's written by Anthony McCartan. It's an Earphones winner read by John Lee, and it's available from Harper Audio for 6.5 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review is The Women Who Flew for Hitler, a true story of soaring ambition and searing rivalry. It's written by Claire Mully, and it's an Earphones winner read by Krista Lewis. Narrator Krista Lewis delves into the story of Germany's pioneering women test pilots, Melita von Stauffenberg and Hannah Reich. These women loved their country, but were polar opposites in morality and personality. Driven by a love of flight, they were not deterred by its high risks. Flashy Hannah embraced Hitler's plan for Germany, while erudite Melita tried to preserve her country and family from his terror. Lewis immerses the listener in her honest and dynamic portrayal of these women's lives and their brave and amazing accomplishments in the male-dominated field of aeronautics. In a serious tone, she delivers the shocking and heart-wrenching details of wartime Germany. Through Lewis, Mully's heroines will stay with listeners long after the last sentence is spoken. Shelley Holly wrote that review of The Women Who Flew for Hitler, a true story of soaring ambition and searing rivalry. It's written by Claire Mully, an Earphones winner read by Krista Lewis. It's available from Tantor Media for 15 hours, unabridged. Our next review is The Three Lives of James Madison, Genius, Partisan, President. It's written by Noah Feldman, and it's an Earphones winner, read by John H. Mayer. So you think you know the fourth president of the USA? Allow John Mayer to explain how you haven't even scratched the surface of this multifaceted and complex founding father. One feels like one is sitting in a classroom, learning about the most interesting man in America. As Madison masterfully evolves, so Mayer does throughout this massive work. His ability to keep the listener's attention is a credit to his skills as a narrator. With a tone of excitement during war and gravitas during the writing of the Constitution, he ensures that the listener understands the changes that were necessary in one man at a crucial time in the infancy of a great nation. Terry Delaney wrote that review of The Three Lives of James Madison, Genius, Partisan, President. It's written by Noah Feldman, and it's an Earphones winner read by John H. Mayer. It's available from Random House Audio for 34.25 hours unabridged. Our next review is Gibraltar, The Greatest Siege in British History by Roy Adkins with Leslie Adkins, an Earphones winner read by John Telfer. John Telfer's masterful reading of Roy and Leslie Adkins's history of the 1779 through 83 Spanish siege of British-held Gibraltar is a model of audiobook technique. The Adkinsons' account relies heavily on historical journals and first-person reports, many in the more elevated diction and formal syntax of that time. Telfer enhances rather than subdues these passages, setting them off from the more neutral modern narrative. The effect is singular, and the story he tells is itself amazing, filled with action and human drama, a tale of genuine consequence. Did the British trade defeat in North America for victory in the Mediterranean? Telfer's expert reading captures the heat and uncertainty of unfolding events and leaves listeners with something to think about. David A. Walton wrote that review of Gibraltar, the greatest siege in British history. It's written by Roy and Leslie Adkins, and it's an Earphones winner read by John Telfer. Finally, today we have The Right Stuff by Tom Wolfe, read by Dennis Quaid. Actor Dennis Quaid turns on the Texas charm as he narrates the quintessential nonfiction story of the origin of the nation's space program. Wolfe's narrative focuses on the pilots who tested the theories of supersonic flight. While there's little dramatization, the plot is riveting and still enjoyable after all these years. Quaid has a sure hand with dramatic pacing, emphasizing the material on the hazards of challenging the sound barrier and the men who took those first flights into space. You can hear real affection Quaid has for the flyers and their wives as he draws on his experience with character development and portraying emotion. Randy O'Brien wrote that review of The Right Stuff by Tom Wolfe. It's read by Dennis Quaid, and it's available from Audible, Inc. for 15.75 hours of unabridged listening. And that concludes our program for today, but I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when we have reviews in Young Adult Listening. We have a review of Children of Blood and Bone, Legacy of Orisha, Book 1, by Tommy Adeyemi, read by Bonnie Turpin. We also have an interview with narrator Sunil Malhotra and a review of his Earphones winner, I Have Lost My Way, by Gail Forman, read by Malhotra with Michael Crouch and Nicole Lewis. So until next time, thanks for listening. This has been Audiophile Magazine from WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Audiophile is also available online at www.audiophilemagazine.com. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Sandy Henschel. For more information on any of the books you've heard about today, contact your local library, Library for the Blind, or your favorite local bookstore. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.